says it is His command. It is in and through Him He has fulfilled it. Father, we humbly come before You. We ask, O God, that we would not focus on the one who's standing before us, but we would hear Your voice today. Father, if it's Your desire for Your people's eyes to be closed and just be focused on You and Your presence, let it be done. Let them hear Your voice being spoke through this humble servant, O God. And let the Ruach HaKodesh, who is already here, continue to minister along with those ministering and those warring angels, O God. To Your name be all praise and glory and honor. In Yeshua's name, amen. We heard a lot of what was going to be shared today, last night, and that's great because what we're going through right now is rehearsal. And so what was shared earlier last night was that Aharon was called, and he was called to go how he is to approach our most holy God, who is a God of fire. And if we would study the scripture just prior to that in Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 16, 1 through 19, it says that he lost two sons. Why did he lose those two sons? Because they approached the Lord, bringing another fire and other incense. Strange fire. But God has called us to approach Him in holiness, in true repentance, and to prepare ourselves to meet Him. For we serve a holy God who is to be respected in all things. As I was studying the scripture and as reading the scripture prior to this, Moshe was given the command through Adonai to tell his brother not to weep at the loss of his two sons. And that speaks volumes of the relationship that were between Aharon, Aaron, the first high priest, and Adonai God, in that he was able to hold back his grief. And he was commanded to let all the other family members to grieve, but you're not to grieve, because his eyes were to be on the Lord. And if you take time to read verses 1 through 18, but the Lord says today to start at verse 18. Then he said, go out to the altar that is before Adonai and make atonement for it, and take some of the bull's blood and some of the goat's blood and put it on the horns of the altar. He is to sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times, thus purifying it and setting it apart from the uncleanliness of the people of Israel. The uncleanliness of his two sons' rebellion. How contrite Aharon's heart must have been, in that he could not even grieve for the passing of his two sons. But he looked towards his God, and he had a deep personal relationship. And he saw that through his younger brother, isn't it amazing that Moshe was exalted over the older brother? And yet Aharon only showed a few times in the scripture where he allowed jealousy to be come into his heart. It speaks about our relationship that we should have one toward another. The Lord exalts us from time to time. And we may say, well, I should be up there speaking. I should be up there singing. But you know what? We should all rejoice when the Lord selects any of us to do anything in His name, because we are the body of Messiah. Let's continue. When he had finished atoning for the holy place, the tent of the meeting of the altar, he is to present a live goat. Aharon is to lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess it all the transgressions of the crimes and the sins of the people of Israel. He is to put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the desert with a man appointed for that purpose. The goat will bear all their transgressions away from the isolated place, and he is to let the goat go in the desert. Aharon is to go back into the tent of meeting, where he is to remove the linen garments he put on when he entered the holy place. He is to leave them there. Then he is to bathe his body in water in a holy place and put on his other clothes and come out and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people, thus making atonement for himself and for the people. He is to make the fat of the sin offering go up in smoke upon the altar. Then the man who let go the goat for the Azel is to wash his clothes and bathe his body in water. Afterwards, he may return to the camp. But the bull for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought into the make atonement in the holy place, it is to be carried outside of the camp, and they are to burn it up completely, their hides, meat, and dung. The person burning them up is to wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterwards he may return to the camp. It is to be a permanent regulation that for you on the 10th day of the 7th month, you are to deny yourselves and not to do any kind of work for both citizen and foreigners living among you. For on this day of atonement will be made for you to purify you, and you will be clean before Adonai from all your sins. It is a Shabbat of complete rest for you, and you are to deny yourselves. This is a permanent regulation. The Kohen, anointed and consecrated to be Kohen in his father's place, will make atonement. He will put on linen garments and holy garments. He will make atonement for the especially holy place, and he will make atonement for the tent of meeting on the altar. He will make atonement for the Kohanim and for all the people in the community. This is a permanent regulation for you, to make atonement for the people of Israel because of all their sins once a year. And Moshe did as Adonai had ordered him. This was the command. I had prepared a Torah reading. What was to be prepared? Yom Kippur, the Hebrew word Yom means day. In Kippur, from the Hebrew meaning to atone. That is to agree, to make amends for an offense by the offender. To set as one, to make harmonious. God had made a way for us to be harmonious with Him. The first steps is that is to be to recognize that we have sinned. Second part is to receive the Ruach HaKodesh in convicting us of our sin, lest we fall in and under condemnation. And the next step is then to confess that sin, agreeing with God that we have fallen short of all His glory. Then we can be reconciled through the blood of the Lamb. This is what sets the stage of the holiest day of the year for all people, including the Jewish people. It is both a repentance and atonement that they are the core values and the foundations of this beautiful holiday that we're celebrating today. It is a holy day unto the Lord. And you know what? All those who agree with God and have prepared themselves and made themselves holy through trusting and believing what Yeshua has done, you are declared holy. And the accuser of the brethren can say nothing against you. It is the holiest day of the three high holy days. Yom Kippur has begun on Tishrei 10. That was this Friday night. That was last night. It began at sundown to Saturday at sundown. That is this evening. If you are following the Gregorian calendar, it, Kol Nidre, and Yom Kippur begins on Friday, October 3rd at sundown and ends October 4th at sundown, 2014. It is a 24-hour period of fasting, consecrated prayer, and asking for forgiveness. There are many times where we feel as Messianic believers, especially those of us who are Messianic Jews, that we're cut off from our people. But we enter in this day. We are seen as equal, not in their eyes, but in the eyes of God, because we have received forgiveness and believing and trusting in Yeshua. They are standing before the Wailing Wall. They are standing in the synagogues. Some are standing beside rivers because there's not a minion among them. And they're repenting. They've already signed those papers ahead of time and cast them into the river, asking God to forgive all their sins. Along with the Sabbath, these are designated times and appointed festivals. And all those of you who have been grafted in by the nations, you are co-heirs in Messiah. You are equal. For you put your trust in the trust that was given through your father and our father, Abraham, believing in the promise of the seed yet to come. It is a holy assembly that you are to designate times. It speaks in Leviticus chapter 16, 1 through 4. The Hebrew word Ahazel, the goat was to be sent away. The goat, it was to be sent away from the presence of the people, to go outside their encampment, not to dwell within them. Because who was set up in the very center, the full focus of all the people? The tabernacle, the Mishkan, the presence of the living God, who does not tolerate any sin. So that had to be removed. It is a kapara, meaning atonement, and tera, from the Hebrew root meaning to cleanse. These are both included here. We need cleansing. Ruach HaKodesh, we ask now that you'll continue to cleanse our minds and hearts. All the things that HaSatan is trying to cause us to focus on other things, may we focus not on the person up here, but on your word, O God. May we be cleansed from all unrighteousness, that we may show true fruits of repentance. To your name be all praise and glory and honor. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. On this day of atonement will be made for you, first to cleanse you, then before Adonai you will be clean from all your sins. Leviticus 16:30. We as a people are flawed. We have a human stain. All of us have this. We try to remove the stain by acts of goodness and by good thoughts. Growing up as a boy, we were taught that if you went to the synagogue and you spent time in repentance, that God was up there and he had this scale. Frank's bad works, Frank's good works. And if my good works was heavier than my bad works, then possible, by the grace of God, my name could be inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life or the Book of Life for one more year. Works mentality. Legalism. What freedom I gained when I finally received Yeshua and that veil was ripped from my eyes and I was able to see who Yeshua truly was. In Romans 3:23, it declares, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of earning God's praise. Of earning His praise. For what is the one word that you and I desire to hear from the Lord one day when we stand before Him? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of Adonai. That's our heart's desire. There's nothing else. We must all realize and understand that we have missed the mark. We must confess before. The cleansing carries away the human stain of our hearts. But you know what's beautiful? We as Messianic believers, both Jews and Gentiles of the nations, can have Yom Kippur every day. We can allow the Ruach HaKodesh to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as Alberta shared, Rebbetzin Alberta shared earlier today, we can now boldly go into the throne. Where Aharon was said, no, you have to bathe. You have to go through all these things and bring the blood for yourself. We don't have to do that. Because we put our trust in Yeshua, who therefore offered His blood. Not on the Mishkan and not into the temple in Jerusalem, because there is no temple anymore. But He was, prior to His ascending to the Father, after He rose from the dead, Miriam Magdalene, some have said she was a former prostitute. She went there to see where Adonai was, her Lord and the lover of her soul. And he said to her, "Please do not cleave on me, because I have not ascended to my Father." But when he ascended up to his Father, he entered into what? The Holy of Holies. For Moshe was commanded upon Mount Sinai to make the Hamishkan, the tabernacle, the same exact way that he had seen it in heaven. God had given him that vision, and he was to obey. In Isaiah 1, 18 through 20, let's turn there now. If you have the complete Jewish Bible, it's page 436. One advantage. "Come to me, says Adonai. Let us talk this over together. Even if your sins are like scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Even if they are red as crimson, they will be white as wool." Have you ever been arguing with the Lord? Have you ever argued with the Ruach HaKodesh when He revealed there is sin in your heart that needs to be repented of? I have. So Isaiah speaks to us even today. This word is eternal and is living. Let's continue. The question is often asked, why two goats on Yom Kippur? This is the holiest day of the year, highlighting repentance. The use of two lambs and goats or bulls was not new to Israel. It was very common for sacrifice and for atonement. Here is a special high holy day. Two animals are required and used in different ways. This is a beautiful picture of the atoning work of Yeshua in our place upon the execution stake. He accomplished what an animal's blood could not, could never do. And some say, how dare you put my beloved Messiah Yeshua and say that he was a type of the Ahazel? What does the scripture say? That he was crushed for our iniquities. And all sin, all the curse of sin was placed upon him. And just as Rabbi declared last night, as Yeshua was executed on a dead tree, Abba, our Father, could no longer behold him. And there are many times when we don't contemplate that. Yeshua allowed himself to take all the curse of all our sins, of every man, woman, and child who's ever been and ever shall be born, was poured upon him. He has done everything out of love for us and out of love of Abba, our Father, through the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, that we may be redeemed. And that great cost, there are times, many times, when I've gone through these different services and not appreciated it at the full. Ruach HaKodesh, circumcise our hearts yet again and our minds. Though we be walking with you many years and think that we have arrived at a certain place, give us a fresh revelation how great your love is for us. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. On the Day of Atonement, a picture of the purpose is made clear. Sin is not only forgiven, but the stain of it, of the human blot, is removed. It's erased. It's no longer held against us. Hasatan raises up and says, look what this person has done. Is he not yours? Has he not rebelled? And Yeshua declares to them, Hasatan, it's been covered by my blood. And Hasatan is silent because he can no longer accuse us anymore. Let's continue. The Torah clarifies the purpose on this day Number one, atonement will be made for you, first to cleanse you. Then before Adonai, you will be clean from all your sins. Vayikra, Leviticus 16:30. The sacrifice of animals, the main achievement was an atonement, or kapara. Both on Yom Kippur, another aspect of this redemption was illustrated. It is called lather, Hebrew, that is to cleanse. That there would be nothing found of uncleanliness inside. The blood redemption covers the acts of falling short of God's praise. I know we've read many, many times it says falling short of the glory of God. But to actually hear our Messiah declare praise over you, that's greater than glory. For then you're saying, he's saying to you, you are mine. And I am yours. And I perfected my good work in you, in and through me, says the Lord. Well done, you good and faithful Shamesh, servant. Enter now into the joy of Adonai. That's our heart's desire. And it should be repeated over and over again. For us to hear that still, small voice today. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy. Because I tell you this, that when we go and speak to our Jewish brethren who do not know Him, what's going to draw them? Signs and wonders, but the joy of Adonai that lives within us. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And two goats were brought this truth to us, by one by atonement and the other by cleansing us and carrying away our human stain far away from us. This is what makes us new creatures and able to be new life with clean slates. 2 Corinthians 5:17 declares, therefore, if anyone is united with Messiah Yeshua, he is a new creation. Old has passed away. Look, what has come is fresh and it is new. Can you imagine the first time that Yeshua was sitting in his synagogue? And the rabbi took out for the very first time Tehillim, Psalms 51. And he heard it read. And as he heard it read, he recognized who wrote it? His great-grandfather. His great-grandfather who had fallen into sin. And it represented to Yeshua that that was part of his legacy. He had a grandfather that committed sin. But it was through Yeshua, King David could be forgiven. For he believed in the promise yet to come. And there are times when we need to read Psalm 51. Sin always leaves its mark. It can be covered and removed. King David must have felt the stain of adultery with Bathsheba when he prayed, Adonai, in your grace have mercy on me. In your great compassion, blot out my crimes. Wash me completely from my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my crimes. My sin confronts me all the time. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil from your perspective, so that you are right in accusing me and justified in passing sentence upon me. True, I was born guilty and was a sinner from the moment my mother conceived me. Still, you want truth in inner person. So make me know wisdom in my innermost heart. Sprinkle me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear the sound of joy and gladness so that the bones you crushed can rejoice. Turn away from your face from my sins and blot out all my crimes. Create in me a clean heart, O Adonai, and renew a resolute spirit. Don't thrust me away from your presence, and don't take your Ruach HaKodesh away from me. Restore my joy in your Yeshua, my salvation, and let a willing spirit uphold me. Then I will teach the wicked your ways, and the sinners will return to you. Rescue me from the guilt of shedding blood, Adonai. Adonai, my Yeshua, my salvation. That's what he declared. Think of Yeshua receiving that and hearing that from the very first time. Hearing his name called out. And knowing that he was the provision for his grandfather's salvation. It was in and through Yeshua and him alone. And that it says in the scripture that Malachim David, was a man after God's own heart. For when he recognized that there was sin in his life, true repentance came. And there was reconciliation. And in this psalm, we have hope. Amen?
Amen.
Then my tongue will sing about your righteousness, Adonai. Open my lips, then my mouth will praise you. For you don't want sacrifices, or I would give them. You don't take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice to Adonai is a broken spirit. David saw. He saw through all the tradition of bringing sacrifice upon sacrifice. And a light bulb went on in his head. And he declared this, it is a broken spirit and a contrite heart. That's where God wants us. Adonai, you do not spurn a broken and chastised heart. In your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifices and in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then you will offer bowls on your altar. A comparison is this. Pontius Pilate. Here now, many years in the future. It's ancient to us. He saw Yeshua, a lamb that stood before him, a sacrificial lamb. He was warned the night before from his wife that she got a dream by Adonai, warning him, don't have anything to do with this. But as Lonnie said earlier today, pride. What did he declare? He took and asked for a basin to be brought to him. And he said, I wash my hands of this man's death. He declared that he was innocent. Yet he was warned, had nothing to do. That's found in Matthew 27:24. But the meaning of the Jewish holidays brings home the redeeming work of Messiah Yeshua to the Jewish people and to the nations. They are rich and meaningful in demonstrations, including tradition of the scapegoat. Yeshua became a scapegoat for you and I to take away all our sins. This is truly illustrated in the complete work of Adonai Yeshua on the execution stake. He both atoned and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. When Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, spoke to his Jewish countrymen, he did not glory in his own wisdom, but rather the work of Messiah Yeshua. His message was not simply that Yeshua in the flesh was made the long-awaited Messiah of Israel, but he was crucified for the sins of Israel and for the whole world. 1 Corinthians 1:18-31. With that message, Rav Shaul founded the power of Adonai to convict and change and to see in the ancient scapegoat ritual that Yeshua not only atoned, but Yeshua cleansed and carried our sins far away from us. This is an ancient story of atonement, and it will be our new song in heaven. And the Lord says to end on this. Last night as Rabbi was speaking, he spoke about Yeshua being crucified upon a tree, a dead tree. And when he spoke that to me, the Lord gave me an image in my mind. And he showed me a tree. And he showed me what type of tree it was. In my mind. And I want you to judge this. Let the Ruach HaKodesh speak to you. He showed me it was an olive tree. And this olive tree was growing out of solid rock. The upper parts of the tree were completely dead. But the Lord showed me beneath the rock. And we see in the scripture, what is the rock? It is Yeshua. What is the olive tree? But the nation of Israel. Its roots were alive, but on the top, parts of it were dead. And I saw these branches that were new branches that were being grafted into this olive tree. But I also saw others that were being cut off and thrown into the fire. And then I saw from the four corners of the earth olive branches flying. And they were being grafted back in. And this olive tree became alive. And it bore fruit. And the fruit of the olive tree fell on the ground and it was crushed. Just as Yeshua was crushed for our iniquities. Yes, we are saved by His precious blood. But as you crush an olive, what happens? You get olive oil. And what does olive oil symbolize? The light of the world. The Ruach HaKodesh. He was crushed. Not only He was crushed for His blood, that we'd be covered and cleansed from all unrighteousness. But also He turned to His Talmudim before He ascended. And He declared to them after 40 days, wait, for the Ruach is going to come upon you. And what is the symbol of the Ruach in Scripture? Yes, it's a dove, but it's also oil. Oil brings cleansing and brings healing. And the Lord said, end on this. Because that olive tree is alive. And what great significance is that, that it was upon that tree. Not the fig tree that He cursed. But upon the olive tree that appeared to be dead. Symbolizing the roots. Those of you who are among the nations, your Jewish roots, are from your father Abraham, through Yitzhak and Yaakov, and you have been grafted in. Joint heirs. But you know what God wants to use these wild olive branches to do? To bring about jealousy. That the true branches that have been cast aside to the four corners of the earth may be grafted in yet again, and that they may produce fruit. The one new man. And the Lord's told me that this is going to come about all these years that we've been praying and fasting and believing God to fill this house. And the house of all Messianic communities are going to be filled more with Jewish believers than ever before. Praise be to Adonai.